Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. Well, today we're going to talk about something that's a little more lighthearted than our previous podcast. If you were listening the last time we had a podcast, it was, over 40 minutes, and we dealt with a pretty in-depth topic, a topic that only the brave and the strong will try to conquer. Today we're going to talk about something a little more fun, a little, in part fun, because we really don't know the answers to the question I'm going to answer today. So everybody can make up their own answer and be right. How's that sound? So an astute listener wrote in and said, and you know who you are, but you wrote in and asked about the Nephilim in the Old Testament. Who are the Nephilim? And a great question, in part, like I said, because we were not really 100% sure. So we could just speculate and have fun. And if you don't like what I say, you can believe something else and still go to be with Jesus forever if you trust in Him. So that's kind of what makes the question a little bit fun today. But you may have never heard of the Nephilim, not really important New Testament characters. Or you might have. You might have studied a lot about them. But let's take a look at where they first appear in Scripture. They first appear in Genesis chapter 6. And Genesis chapter 6 is the beginning of the story of Noah's flood. So it's where the story of Noah's flood begins. And that's where the Nephilim first show up. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, that is, the days just before the flood. And so actually the account that we're going to read here, and well, we won't read it together today, but what we're going to get into in Genesis 6, if you were to read the whole chapter, begins 100 years before the flood. So it's not just like 3 weeks before the flood. But the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. We'll get to that in a second. When the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, the men of renown. All right, so let's just kind of unpack that passage a little bit. First of all, the word Nephilim means giants. The giants were on the earth in those days and also afterward. So let's deal with that at the moment. So what does it mean and also afterwards? In other words, the Nephilim were still on the earth. Not still, that's not the right word, because they died in the flood, all except Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. So eight in all survived the flood. Every other human being on the planet was killed in the flood. But yet they reappeared later on. And that later on is noted for us in Scripture in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 33. Now the setting for Numbers 13 is that the people of Israel, God's people, are freed from Egypt in the Exodus. They're wandering around in the wilderness, and they're ready to enter the promised land. And so they send spies into the promised land to spy it out, to see who's living in the promised land, modern-day Israel. And this is what Numbers 13, verse 33 says. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So the Nephilim, the giant people, the descendants of Anak, and we read here that the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. All right, so who were these people? Well, and let's look back at Genesis 6, verse 4. Are they the people who were brought into being when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them? Or did that just happen at the same time? So look at the verse carefully. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. The general presumption is that the Nephilim were the descendants of this unity of the sons of God and the daughters of human. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. Not necessarily the same group, but probably we'll say for our purposes, they're the same group, all right? So then the question is, what does this mean? The sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. This translation comes from the New International Version, But it's the latest New International Version, where the New International Version tries to remove gender specific pronouns or gender specific words from the original text. So that becomes a problem in some places, and I would say it's a problem here. So it makes the verse less clear. So what the verse says is not the daughters of humans, but the daughters of men. So I'll tell you why I think that that's an important piece in a moment. The sons of God went to the daughters. So who are these sons of God? Who are these daughters of men? And they have intercourse, I suppose, you'd have to say, to have children. What's going on there? Well, some read that and initially say, well, that looks like, and some theories are here, is this angels coming and having intercourse with humans and having children? Well, that's, some people would believe that explanation. For me, I would say that that is not satisfactory at all, because we know of no occasion when that is possible. Angels do not marry. Jesus says they don't marry. They're not given in marriage. They don't have sexual intercourse with humans. So that simply does not happen. And we have no evidence that it happens, except if you use this verse as evidence, which is pretty slim evidence. So there's other ways to explain this verse. The other way, and I think this is the way that makes the most sense here, is that the sons of God, so you have, let me back up here, you have Adam and Eve, right? Genesis chapter 1 and 2, Genesis 3, the fall into sin, and then you go through chapter 4 and 5, Genesis 4, Cain and Abel, two sons of Adam and Eve, and we'll just pause for a minute. Who killed who? Okay, so Cain killed Abel. Good job. So Cain killed Abel. Cain is banished with his wife, another daughter of Adam and Eve, married to, obviously. So Cain and his wife are banished. And then there's another son born then to Adam and Eve. His name is Seth. And so you have this sense that in the scriptures, that the descendants of Seth were godly and the descendants of Cain were looked at as ungodly. And so what I think is happening here in Genesis chapter 6 is that the descendants of Seth are intermarrying with the descendants of Cain. I believe that that's what's going on here. In general, what you have is godly men marrying ungodly women. Could be the reverse too, but in this particular case, godly men marrying ungodly women, it could be godly women marrying ungodly men. But either way, if you have experience with that in the modern context, generally speaking, not always, praise God, it's not always, but when a person who loves Jesus marries a person who does not love Jesus, more often than not, that relationship tends toward a falling away of the person who loves Jesus. It is hard to be, and the Bible warns against this, being unequally yoked in the New Testament, warns against that. So I think what's happening here in verse 4 is that there's an unequally yoked marriages that are happening, and these people then, that are the products of this unequally yoked marriages, these children become, and again, we see this today, not always, thank the Lord, but we see this today, children where one parent is godly and other one's not, and the family drifts, and the priorities of the family drift, and the children wind up not knowing God. And so that's what I think is happening here in Genesis chapter 4. So they are the heroes of old, the scripture says, the men of renown, known perhaps as much for their ungodliness, maybe. Think about who are the men of renown, who are the, I wouldn't call them heroes, but who are the some of the famous people from the 20th century. We'll go back just to the 20th century. Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, probably most people around the world have heard of Adolf Hitler. Not exactly someone you want your kids to imitate, right? So heroes, men of renown, Chairman Mao in China, right? So yes, there's positive role models as well, but negative role models for sure. And that leads us into the story of Noah and the flood, because of course, the whole world becomes ungodly at that point, except for Noah and his family. So that's kind of where this is trending. The Nephilim were the giants. That's literally translated giants. So there was, well, we have giants today. I think of my favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Their offensive line was the, I believe, if you put them all together, the largest offensive line in NFL history. And if they weren't, don't tell me because I don't want to know because I want to think they were. But anyway, so you have these giants. Then you have, little running backs or little cornerbacks, 5'11", 180 pounds, standing next to, Jordan Mailata at, I think, 6'9" and weighs 380. So you have the Nephilim in those days, and we have some Nephilim, I think, playing along the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's what the Nephilim are. I don't think there's anything more complex than that. I don't think it's the angels mating with people, which is what some would, you could read kind of fanciful things about that, but there's no evidence of that at all. I think there's a greater preponderance of evidence that of what I said as the explanation there. The Nephilim then show up again, as we said, in the days of Joshua, much later than Noah. Joshua living around, we'll say 1400 BC, so 3,400 years ago. But like I said, we have kind of Nephilim today. If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, or look at some NBA basketball players, we might call them the Nephilim of our day, compared to my daughter, who's I think 5'1". So we seem like grass. She would seem like a grasshopper next to Shaquille O'Neal for sure. So there you go. Who Anak is in Numbers 13. Anak appears a couple of times in scripture, and in fact, we really don't know who Anak was. It just shows up and appears, and there's no explanation given. And we don't know from history, by the way, who Anak is. If you want to study more of this, I have this on the screen, but a great website, if you're not aware of it, for all things creation, all things the flood, all things early earth kinds of what went on back then, is called Answers in Genesis, one word. Answersingenesis.org. And I believe it was started by a guy named Ken Ham, who is from Down Under, has an interesting, a fun accent to listen to if you listen to Dr. Ken Ham. But anyway, not everything he says I don't necessarily buy into, or it's a human website. So go there. I don't buy into everything that's there, but definitely something to look into. Answersingenesis.org. Yeah, just encourage you to check that out. I think, especially if you're interested in studying things like the creation of the world, things like the flood, things like whatever happened, 4,000 plus years ago on the earth, Answers in Genesis is a great resource. It's not the only thing out there. It may not be right and accurate in every single thing it says, but Ken Ham's made a living studying all these things. And so commend that website to you. And if you're watching on YouTube, and hopefully if YouTube showed it correctly, you'll see that there's a couple of articles on the page Answers in Genesis about the Nephilim. You can just type in the search bar Nephilim, and you'll get the articles and maybe get even some more insight than what I've shared with you. So, thanks to our faithful listener for sending in a question to eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com, and hopefully we got it answered for you in a kind of fun way. And like I said, if this is one of those questions where if you don't like the answer, come up with a different answer, and it doesn't matter. Because in the end, you trust Jesus for salvation, you get to heaven, and we'll all figure it out when we get there. So thanks for listening to the podcast. I want to encourage you again to write us. Also encourage you to hope in the Lord, because those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.